I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph. This has been in the works for the past, I believe, 6 months.
Is it since February?
Since February, to talk to this next guest. Well, friends, our next guest is the new associate head coach of the Colorado Avalanche's American Hockey League team, the Colorado Eagles. He returns to the Avalanche organization where he played his first six NHL seasons and won a Stanley Cup in 2001. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to Tell Us a Good Story, Mr. Dan Hynote.
Coach Dan Hynote! Yes!
That's a way better receiving than what I get on in the away games.
I bet. Well, thank you for saying yes to us. Of course, we were introduced to you by mutual friend, Coach Brad Larson, who's the former Columbus Blue Jackets head coach here. And after we talked to him, he was immediately like, you know what? You need to talk to my friend, Coach Dan Hynote.
Mm-hmm.
And so as part of like the vetting process, we had a conversation. This was, you know, a few weeks back. And you immediately said, hey, I listened to that episode. And Steph, he knows exactly what he's signed up for.
Like, does he though?
Because I started to warn him about your energy.
Yes.
And he was like, listen, I've been listening to y'all. I know what I signed up for. So he's totally familiar with you, your energy, and what you may ask.
Okay, so since you listened already, I have to ask you, are those your real teeth?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, God, no.
And you'd be hard-pressed to find any hockey player with all of his real teeth. But these all... I actually just got replaced because I had them. They've all been knocked out at some point, and no lie, one at a time. You would hope it would just be one stick. They all go. You get them fixed, but it was like one here, and then a couple months later, or years later, this one, like all the way down until finally I had a bridge, and the bridge broke this year, and it's been on for 20 years. So I finally had it replaced. So no, they're not my real teeth, but these are now.
Okay, so at what age you've played hockey pretty much your entire life. At what level do you start getting your teeth knocked out?
It depends on where you play. So I played college for a year and a half and then left college and went and played major junior in Canada. And as soon as you get to major junior, you can wear a half shield.
So okay.
That's when you start losing teeth. In college, you have a full cage.
Yes.
So you end up with a lot of pressure scars if you're hitting with your head, like I used to, like a dum-dum. And you end up with pressure scars from the, you know, from the chin guard. And I probably had 6,000 stitches underneath my chin, but no teeth missing. And then I go right to major junior. And the first year, I had my first two teeth knocked out. You know, because I'm like, oh, I'm so happy I don't have to wear a cage anymore. Because it's kind of like a passing, you know, like where you're like, well, I don't need any, you know, I'm a hockey player. I don't need any protection. Give me the least amount I can get.
Meanwhile,
your parents are like, don't be an idiot. You're going to lose your teeth. It's expensive. And, you know, of course, very first year, I lost two teeth. So, as karma would have it, I started that trek down the fake teeth route.
Okay, I got a question. Out of all of the injuries you've ever had, is losing your teeth the most painful?
No, in fact, a lot of that's why you see guys will, and this is one of my favorite stories from when I was playing junior. So the puck's coming up the wall, if you can visualize it, and I get to the boards and I toe pick, which means you basically falling face first.
Okay.
It hits the boards, bounces up the boards, and because I toe pick, my face was at the perfect level for the puck to hit my teeth. And so two teeth come out like instantly, and you're just like looking around, and I got teeth on the ice, and the ref skates by, he's like, hey, you gonna play or what? And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And then continued to play. And then, you know, he had picked up my teeth and delivered them to the bench. But like, that's hockey. Like the refs are like, I'm not blowing the whistle for you. Everybody loses their teeth. Are you gonna play or not?
Oh my gosh.
You know, like that's, and I was like, yeah, I'm good. And meanwhile, I'm bleeding all over the place. And you get to the bench and they freeze it or do what they do. And then you get back out there. You know, that's hockey.
Steph.
Yeah.
Oh.
I would be calling timeout. Hey, the players on the visitor team, can you look with me
Where's
my
teeth at? They're like staying on the ground.
I wasn't expecting that. I'm like, hey, just play on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just so you know, full transparency here, I reached out to our mutual friend, Coach Brad Larson, yesterday to try to get some intel on this conversation we're having right now. And please verify if any of this is true. All right. So Dan here and Brad apparently met in the minor leagues.
Okay.
And in typical hockey fashion, when they met, apparently Brad wanted to fight Dan.
Oh, no.
Like in one of the first practices. Dan apparently shrugged him off, didn't fight. Okay. But then shortly thereafter in the locker room, they become the best of friends.
Okay.
Okay. To the point stuff where they buy a house together when they're with the Colorado Avalanche.
Okay.
They buy a dog together.
Aww. Okay.
Which I've never heard of. I've never heard of professional athletes buying pets together, buying homes together. So what happens when he signed with another team? Is it you keep the house, he keeps the dog? How does that work?
Yeah. So basically you just have to buy him out of what, you know, the equity in the house. And then all of a sudden he gets traded to Atlanta. And I'm stuck with this big house. And so I gotta pay him off. And
right.
Now I have to find roommates and it's a whole thing. But let's clear something up. I was trying to fight Brad, okay? And now it's always first to market, right? Like now it sounds like I'm hiding it, but he tried to knee me. It was training camp, and then we turned and we gave each other a couple shots, and then, you know, and he tells it the opposite way. And I think it's been lost in translation since. No one can prove anything, so I'm sticking with my story. But it's so funny how it works in hockey, where if you end up fighting a guy, it might even be in practice, as soon as you're done, like usually as soon as the fight's done, you guys are instantly closer because of that little bit of adversity that you had in hockey. It's like guys that fight each other have this mutual respect that goes beyond just being teammates anymore. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, it's crazy because you would think like in the real world, you fight somebody, you hate that person.
Yay!
Yes.
And they hate you. In hockey, it's like, yeah, we're tight now.
It's a bonding experience.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that.
Babe, it's like us. When we fight, apparently we're bonding.
Not to that level. Not to that level.
It very much is like a relationship.
See?
You know, if you guys communicate properly and get through it the right way,
yes,
you come closer after a fight. Same in hockey.
It's just like bond.
Hockey. Yes. We bonded.
Okay, so what's your best hockey fight story then?
Mm.
Because Coach Larson, when we talked to Brad, he had a few, including one in the, you know, I think it was his first professional minor league game where there was like, you know, 35 ejections or something, right? For crazy fights.
I was in that game.
Oh, you were?
I was in that game with him, yeah. Hershey versus Philly.
It was, yes.
Yes,
that's right. Hershey, that's right.
Yeah.
So besides that, what's the craziest hockey situation you've been involved with, Coach?
Well, I was in, so it was during the lockout. This would have been 04.
Okay.
And during the lockout, and it was a full year lockout, all the guys went, you know, scattered across the earth to play. And I went to Sweden, lived with one of my teammates. We were playing in the Elite League, the Swedish Elite League, which is their top level. We get to play Team X in playoffs. Well, Team X had Zdeno Chara on their team. He was an absolute nightmare to play against in the NHL. But now you take him and put him in the Swedish League, no one goes towards this guy. We were playing them in the first round of playoffs, and he was single-handedly keeping us off the board.
Okay.
Because he was so mean. And the rules were pretty lax in Sweden for that kind of thing. So I knew he hated me because most guys do. And so I told my teammate, I was like, so this was game two. Anyway, we were losing. I said, I think I can get him to fight me. Zdeno Chara is 6'7", 6'8".
Oh my gosh.
And he's a Greco. His dad was an Olympic Greco-Roman wrestler. He's not just tall. He's a monster.
So he knows things too, if he's a wrestler.
Like, it's one thing to be big. It's another to be able to use it properly.
Yes.
Because he's a beast too. Like he's one of the strongest guys ever in the league, which I didn't know, unfortunately. And so, so I'm like, I think I can get him to fight me. I know he hates me. And my teammate was like, no, don't. Like, it's not worth it. Like, whatever. So anyway, game three starts. I go to the net and he's on the ice. So here's my chance. So I kind of snow the goalie, which is a very big no-no in any league. But I'm just trying to draw his ire. So anyway, he comes up, and this is how strong he is. He grabs my earpiece. We have these little earpieces that kind of hang down to protect you. And he grabs it and just tries to like pull me away from the goalie, but he just rips my earpiece right off my helmet.
Oh my gosh.
So I take he's like that. So I take a wild swing and I hit him like right in the lip. And then the wires cross. And now he's just boom, boom, boom. And you have to really watch the video. because it is ridiculous how I stayed alive during this fight, because literally I am down, he picks me up, like I am, like I look like Neo in the Matrix, just barely avoiding these punches that would have ended my career. But I've never felt less like a man than him manhandling me with one arm while he was beating me up. But I survived the fight. And in Sweden, the way it works is if you fight, you get suspended for that game and the next game. So okay. It was like, that's a great trade for our team because he's really good out. And I'm not.
Yes.
Yeah. So now he and I both go. We end up winning that game and then kind of furthering on the series. We ended up not winning the series, but when you see the video, you'll understand why. It's the fight everyone talks about when they talk about me, because it is just like, oh my God. So you'll have to watch it when this is over to get scope. But yeah, that's the craziest fight story I got.
Do you regret not listening to your buddy at that point? Like when you're in the fetal position, you're like, maybe I shouldn't have done this.
Maybe this wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, maybe this wasn't the best decision.
No, you know what? I was kind of like on adrenaline. I go in the locker room and I'm like, I did it. It's fine. Like, I didn't think I would. And then I looked in the mirror and I looked like, Rocky Dennis. You remember Rocky Dennis from Mask when his face was?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what my face looked like. Like it was just mangled. So then I was like, oh my God, maybe I didn't survive it. But then the guys started coming in after the period and every single one of them came up and gave me a big hug.
Really?
They understood. Oh yeah, because they understood why I did what I did.
Right.
And they appreciate it because now they don't have to get crushed by him anymore for the next couple games. So then it was like, okay, then it's worth it.
All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story. What's been your most favorite fan interaction?
The thing I love about hockey is how much we're in the community. There's a really good relationship between hockey and the community because the guys are blue collar and they appreciate, because people got to make a lot of sacrifices for you to play hockey, right?
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yes.
You got to drive to the rink. It's like 6 a.m. or 11 at night. It's terrible. And everybody sacrifices. So, you just grow up appreciating everybody that helped you and so on. My favorite was when we won the cup. And there was a guy from my hometown. I grew up in a small town, but there's been 4 or 5 NHLers come out of there.
Oh, my gosh.
Before me, there was only one, but he had won the cup in Calgary. And rightfully so, he took the cup to his cabin and did his family thing, which was awesome. But the people of my hometown wanted to, I'm from Minnesota. Minnesota is hockey crazy.
Totally.
And so they want to see the cup. So when we won, I was so excited to bring it back to my hometown because it hadn't been there yet. And then everybody, because I brought it to the rink, and then I from this time to this time, everybody can come take pictures with the cup. And so the line was, out the building and whatever, and everybody came and got a picture with the cup. And so then they got to see it. And they were all grateful, and they're good people there. So that was my favorite.
They're
giving
I love
them
that.
Back because I don't make it without Oak River. I don't make it without those people, right? They deserve it as much as I do.
That's fantastic.
I love that.
You're their hero.
Yeah.
Right? Especially for bringing that back. So when you're in Nashville, I had read, Coach, where you were known for doing some of those in-game interviews. Now, most coaches, at least when I watch other sports, they hate doing them because you're focused on the game. Now the TV announcer is annoying me. They're going to ask me a couple questions. So with you, what would happen if you were like brutally honest? Right? Like, man, if Tommy would get his head off his rear end, why we'd be playing better. How did you handle those in-game interviews?
It's so funny you ask, because I just did a podcast on one of the Nashville networks here, and they asked about that. Because I love them. Because to me, the guys are really up on what's being said about them, right?
Okay.
In the media. It's just the new age player. They care. So when you're talking to the TV, like, I got about 8 guys in front of me that can hear what I'm saying.
Oh,
so if I'm like, listen, the boys just... and I have been brutally honest, so the fans have loved it. But when I met Teresa, I realized, and she made sure of it, that I'm not cool. Like, I'm not cool. I don't need to worry about being cool. Like, I'm never gonna be cool. So stop worrying about what people are gonna think and do and whatever. So I stopped caring about what people think. I don't care. And so now I can be brutally honest in those interviews because I really don't care. I'm never going to badmouth anybody, but I can honestly say the guys aren't doing it. The guys just don't have it right now. We need to be better. And the eight guys that are sitting in front of me, they'll listen to that and they'll be like, okay, well, like, let's go. You know, it all, there's, to me, there's a method to the madness that you can benefit from if you use it the right way.
All right, coach, for all of our guests, I like to give a list of fun facts to let listeners know what you've done, what you've accomplished. And Steph is not aware of any of these. Okay. So you're going to see her genuine reaction. And any stories, please feel free to share and keep me honest. If I'm wrong on any of these, please keep me honest. Mm-hmm. All right, Steph, you ready?
Yes.
Fun fact number one, Coach Dan Hynote, just 2 years after retiring from the NHL, he joined the Columbus Blue Jackets as an assistant coach and actually lived here for 4 years.
No!
He lived here in Columbus for 4 years.
Okay.
So were you surprised by the Ohio State fandom here and the intensity around Ohio State football?
I've never seen anything like that. Like, you know, I'm in sports, but I've never put, like, I've never seen it on a level where like, it'll ruin Sundays.
Yes.
Uh-huh. In the city, the yes. entire city, like, the energy of the entire city would change.
Yes.
If Ohio State did not perform well.
Yes.
Like, it was like, well, I'm not going out there. Forget it.
Right.
We lost last night against Michigan. Like, yes. Forget it. I'm not going 100%. Anywhere. And that's a real thing. I had no idea. And then the OHIO, like, what? You know, like, because then, you know, like, they're everywhere. Once you realize it, you see them everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's awesome because I, like, from a athlete's perspective or even a coach's, that's what you want, right? You get totally. That kind of fan base. Like, the energy that your players can get from, you know, that kind of fandom can change a game. And that's what happens a lot in Columbus because those fans are crazy.
Yes.
Yeah. In an awesome way because people don't expect that. You don't go to Columbus expecting it to be a madhouse, but it's a madhouse in there.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So I have a big place in my heart for the people in Columbus in my time there because it was awesome.
Do people recognize you, or with the hockey gear and everything, it's kind of hard to,
it's different.
Yes. So I was curious how that works.
Yeah. A little more so as a coach, just because when they see you, you look how you look on the street.
Yes. True.
But unless you're one of the players that are constantly getting press or on TV or interviewed, it's hard to pick out guys because, you know, it's like imagining someone without their hair. It's just impossible to tell when you see them with, unless they got a huge nose like I do. And then it's like, oh, I know that face. But unless you have some kind of distinguishing mark on your face, it's hard to pick up what a player looks like without his gear on.
Yes.
And you always think they're way bigger than they really are too. So you're a little surprised that they're kind of normal sized humans when you see them.
That's a good point because you are normal size, right?
But whereas, you think hockey players are just huge
because they're on
guys.
Skates.
Yes.
But yeah, it's not like an NFL athlete where that you see somebody thick.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, he looks like an athlete. Or an NBA guy who's 6'5" and above.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. You actually are the size of a normal human being. That's true.
Exactly. Hockey and baseball players, you can sneak by. You'd never even know.
That is so interesting.
Okay, so that leads me to my next fun fact. Fun fact number two. Per my research, Coach, it has been scientifically proven that Dan here is actually shorter than our mutual friend, Coach Brad Larson.
Based on what science?
Hey, when I talked to Coach, he said you have to trust the science on this. Like, don't even question it, Dan. So apparently,
you know
this
what?
Is
now
inside
I can't
thing.
Let him go first because this is what happens. He puts all these snakes in your head. You know these things that we've argued about since the beginning of time, and now I have to retort, which always gives it's a weak position. So I have to be more proactive in these things and get there first. But I'm way taller than him, especially now, because I've actually got
you've grown since last time. Okay,
yeah, I'm like, I want to get to 6 foot. Like, I'm manifesting it. I'm talking to God. He's working on it. So I think I'm close.
Okay, all right. I'll let him know next time I talk to him. I'll let him know. All right. Fun fact number three here. In 2008. Dan actually married into the McCarthy family. He married Amy, who was an actress at the time. Her sister was Jenny McCarthy. Their cousin is Melissa McCarthy.
What?
And his brother-in-law at one time was Jim Carrey.
Oh, there has to be a story about this.
Do you have any stories from, I guess, being related to Jim Carrey?
You know, that was in his heyday, right? Like, that was every movie
yes.
he was a part of. And so he was on top of the world. So I go to dinner at his place, and I think it was Malibu. And it's a compound. I shouldn't call it a place. It's a compound. and And all I can do is, like, I'm talking to myself and I'm like, okay, just don't movie quote him. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, yes.
Because that's true. I so want
to
do it.
That would be
it.
Hard to do.
Yes.
It's impossible because every movie that he was in, you've been quoting for the last 10 years.
Yes.
You know, with your buddies.
Yes.
And so it's just like, you know, hold it together. Don't movie quote him. Like, you're not buddies with him yet. And he was awesome. Like, just the most down to earth guy, really quick witted, as you would expect. Not the person you see in the movies all the time,
yeah.
You know, like, not crazy like that. You could see how it could get there, right? Like, it's in there, but he was awesome and very intelligent and a lot, you know, and he was a big hockey fan too. I didn't know. And he had this room and you walked in the room and it was all of his movie stuff. Like the Joker costume was here and
oh
Ace Ventura stuff was there. And it was like, oh my God, try not movie quote in that room.
Yay!
Yeah. And, no kidding.
You know, and then right in the middle of it, maybe it was hanging, but there was goalie equipment and it was like Johnny Bauer's original stuff, I think. And so that was really cool, but he was awesome.
Can you tell Steph the story of him actually attending your wedding back then?
Yeah. So the wedding was 50s theme. Okay. And it was kind of like, I had one of my teammates showed up as a Sasquatch. He's like, Sasquatch was around in the 50s. You can't prove that. And I was like, perfect. You know what?
Yeah, sure. Perfect. Go with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, and it was on a golf course, and no one knew he was wearing the set. And all of a sudden, like right through the fairway, all of a sudden you see Bigfoot, and everyone's like, Bigfoot! And then he runs into the woods. And I was like, oh boy. That's the crew I hung out with.
That's awesome. But
he shows up to the ceremony in full Fidel Castro. In
Jim Carrey.
Yes!
And like, you couldn't see it. He had the glasses, the low-brimmed hat, the big beard, the military outfit, like, front row. Try keeping a straight face when that's sitting next, you know, like,
in
right
the front
in your
row.
Sight line. Yeah. It's just Fidel Castro judging you with his glasses on, shaking his head. But he was great. And, you know, the athletes were very respectful and obviously huge fans of his. So, yeah, it was great.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
Steph, what is one of the most asked questions we get about tell us a good story?
Do I really get that excited?
Besides that one.
Oh, how do we get all these incredible guests?
Correct. Yes. And some of our best conversations have been with guests who our listeners have reached out to us and said, you should talk to this person. To name just a few, Nick Vujicic, Coach Tom Ryan, Carol Motika were all recommendations from our listeners.
So if there's someone you would like us to interview and think they might be a great fit for Tell Us a Good Story, please let us know at kevinandsteph.com. You don't even have to personally know them.
True, but do me a favor. Before you submit their names, please make sure they are still alive. That has actually happened, and it is super hard for me to find their contact information.
But regardless, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
All right, final fun fact about Coach Dan here. Before accepting the job to coach in the AHL with the Avalanche's minor league team, the Colorado Eagles, he was with the Nashville Predators as an assistant coach. So you have been kind of all over the map here, from assistant coach in the NHL, now the AHL. What are you looking forward to, right? Because now you're going to be coaching a completely different level of players, younger guys. What are you looking forward, I guess, in this next transition of your career, Coach?
So I've been doing this for about 10 years now, coaching. And what I've realized is I want to help. I just want to help the boys. Because what happens is all these guys, they play hockey. That's it. They just play hockey.
Yeah.
They show up. That's been your life. It's your identity. That's your focus. Like, you have very little skills elsewhere unless somebody forces you to kind of develop those skills, right? Whether it's life or your parents or maybe a coach. And so guys struggle with a lot of things when they retire, when they're done, because they don't know anything else.
I bet.
And so my passion is, because I made every mistake you could make, is I want to make sure they don't make the same mistakes I made. I want to make sure that when they're done, they can like live a successful, happy life without having to go through all the stupid things I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I want to do. I want to develop the human. I want to give them the foundation that they're going to need after hockey too. So that's how I came to the decision to go coaching Colorado's minor team, is because they haven't, like you just said, the entire team needs that.
Yes.
You know, in pro, you only have maybe three or four guys that aren't married, kids, making $10 million a year. You know what I mean? Like, guys are kind of, they've made it. But in the minors, it's everybody. And to me, that, I'm so excited because I have a full team of guys that need this. And that's my passion. So getting the opportunity to go coach was a decision that my wife and I made after we discussed kind of why we do this job in the first place. And, you know, the cool thing about winning early in my career is you realize there's a lot more to it than just winning. And, you know, I got the ring, my name's on the cup, but then after it's like, okay, well, what's next? Well, what's next is I get to tell my story, you know, kind of like this, but I tell it to them and all the hardships I went through. And they're like, oh my God, that's what happened. And that's what happened. You know, like I went through bankruptcy. I've been divorced. Like I've been through the ringer. For a while I was going door to door for AT&T selling cable.
Really?
When I was going through all my stuff just to make ends meet, you know, which is great for you. It's awesome for you because once you get to the bottom, that's when you start doing the work, right? Yeah. That's when you start to go, okay, I got things I got to change. So I'm very excited.
That's a great point because you wouldn't have retired from playing until early and mid 30s. Yeah. So the biggest thing is when athletes, professional athletes, it's no longer there, you're done. Yeah. I can see where a lot of people, their identities are wrapped up in it. That's all they know, where they could fall into depression. They could fall into a lot of scary stuff because that's all they know. That's all they've done. And now my life is completely different. So with you, I guess once it stopped, once it ended, what was the toughest challenge then once it's over?
The hardest part is ego death, right? Okay. You're not important. And you never were, but you thought you were. And you might have been to a city, you know, to a sports fan or whatever. But in the grand scheme of things, you realize like the organization, they're done with you once you're no longer a viable.
Yeah.
It's a business, right? And that's hard to swallow because there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into playing hockey or any sport. And so you kind of, in your heart of hearts, you expect the team's going to take care of you, but it's hard to swallow that. And that's your identity. And when you're walking down the street, as soon as you retire, you're not really important to the fans anymore. Like you're a good memory.
Yeah.
But they're more worried about the team next year, which is also, again, that's your ego. And what you realize is that people had been taking care of you, you know, from 15 to whenever you retire. Now you're on your own and you have very little skills, real life skills. I was writing my resume and putting it on Indeed when I was going through that stuff. Uh-huh. And like we realized like it's all
hockey,
intangibles. Mm-hmm. And I got nobody on Indeed. Like I sent it everywhere, got nothing.
Wow.
And it was really eye-opening for me because I don't want to let that happen to these guys.
Yeah.
These guys, when they're done, and a lot of players are going to have to work because you make money, but you don't make like retirement money.
Yeah.
And players need to have the skills to do something when they're done because not everybody gets to stay in hockey as a coach. Not everybody gets to jump into the broadcast booth. So what are you going to do? It's a wake up call. You're not getting paid. You're not important to the city. You're not important to a team. Like the guys you spent every waking hour with are gone and you're alone. And if you haven't done a good job with your relationship, the resentment has built up over the course of a career because you've been gone and she has done all the work.
Yeah.
And if you haven't been a good communicator, if you haven't been a good partner, that all comes to fruition. And it's something like 75% divorce rate.
Oh, seriously?
It's crazy. Wow. But that's why, because these guys got to go through ego death. And now when you come out the other side, you might not be the same person she married, right? Mm. Neither of you are. Because if you got together during hockey, you're at charity events, you're at balls, you're doing all these things, and all of a sudden, boom, gone. And you have to start over. Who am I now? She might not like the person you are now because she knows the other person. Today, before this podcast, I got a text from a player I used to coach in Columbus, and he lives here in Nashville. And I went and had coffee with him for an hour and a half, just talking about stuff, because he's going through divorce. He's going through a bunch of hard stuff and he knows I've been through it.
Yep. So you've loved it.
And he knew I was in town, called me, we sit for coffee. That's why I do this job.
Aww.
After that talk, he and I were hugging and you know, he's feeling great. I'm feeling great. He's going to the next step on his life. And that's why I coach.
Wow.
It's amazing.
That is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, coach, I can't thank you enough for your time here. I knew we were going to have a fun conversation. But this was so good.
Oh, so much fun.
Well worth the wait, Coach.
Yes.
Well worth the wait, 6 months here to have this conversation with you. So thank you so much for saying yes to us.
Oh, you guys, what you're doing is awesome. And I love you guys. I love what you do. And I'm so, so grateful. So thanks for having me on.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.